Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Oregon high school football season, the condensed spring Oregon high school football season, is in the books. There is no state title game, but we still have an all-state team, and we still can speculate who would have been the state champion. Joining me now, Prep Red Zone's Jordan Johnson. Jordan, how you doing, my guy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. No state title game, no state semifinal games, and yet I find myself in a position to feel like I know who probably would have won. What say you as far as semifinalists and potentially who would have won the state title in Oregon at the 6A level?
Yeah, pretty clear cut, I think, to most people. Westland this year loaded. And, I mean, these guys, if you look at their freshman team on up, these are going to be the dudes for the next few years. Westland, I mean, they are loaded. Their freshman team went and beat Crescent Valley's varsity team 48-0 on senior night, if you want to kind of put that in perspective, how good some of these kids are, coming up here. So, yeah, Westland, clear-cut number one. Sunset had a phenomenal year. Great game with Central Catholic to close it out. So, 2-3 right there. And then Lake Oswego, I was really impressed with them. Obviously, only playing four games. But they, in my opinion, made a nice jump at the end of the year.
Somebody asked me on the sideline at one of the games I was at, I think it was the West Lynn game against Newburgh late in the year, what's the biggest shock of the season? And I had three that really stood out to me, and maybe even four. One being Newburgh and how well they played. I know we've seen that coming for a little bit. They've got a great coaching staff there. Sunset was a little bit of a surprise. I thought the other two were Central Catholic losing almost every single contributor to last year's team, still being as good as they were. And then on the flip side, Jesuit losing almost everybody from their team last year, and then kind of for Jesuit falling off a cliff and really struggling. Those four things stuck out to me. Was there any of those four that really stuck out to you as interesting or intriguing storylines or any coaches of note from those teams that kind of surprised that deserve a shout?
Yeah, I mean, I think you summarized that pretty well. Newburgh, I had them finishing at number five. They lost to Westland, obviously, the last game of the season there. But since when is Newburgh a state power? I mean, that hasn't happened, I think, ever. So good for them. And they beat Sherwood that first game of the year. That was a statement. You saw what Sherwood did to Jesuit. So I think that kind of is a testament to them as a whole. Coach Haston out there, that last name is going to be familiar to a lot of people, is the guy over at Newburgh. So they did a great job. You're right on Central Catholic. 35 seniors graduated, one of the best perimeters in state history. The whole group was a bunch of Division I kids in the state of Oregon. That doesn't happen. So Central Catholic, couldn't agree with you more. I had Sunset ranked number six to start the year. So finishing at number two, I mean, I knew they were going to be good. I didn't know they were going to finish number two, obviously. But a lot of credit to those guys. And then you take like a Sprague. Sprague was one of the worst teams in the state the last few seasons, and they went 5-1, lost to West Salem the last game of the year. So a lot of credit to those kids. They got a bunch of kids returning as well, a couple guys here on this all-state team. So, good for them. And they're a team we'll hear about in the years ahead.
That all-state team, you cheated a little tiny bit in putting two quarterbacks, three running backs, and a handful of extra receivers. But I think if there's a year where they deserve it, it's this year. Not only was this group a little better than we anticipated, it seemed like a ton of kids put in a bunch of work and really made progress. At quarterback, you got Blake DeBishop. Everybody knows the DeBishop family in the state of Oregon. He had a preferred walk-on offer from Cal today. That's an interesting one for him. I don't think he's matured physically. Mentally, he's on top of it, but I still think he has room to grow. He could add 25, 30 pounds. He could end up being their starter in 3-4 years when he learns the system, puts on weight, earn a scholarship, and be that guy. Gavin Haynes, the running back from West Lynn, a walk-on at Oregon State, an absolute steal for the Beavers. He's your co-offensive player of the year. Caleb Kim was a big part of Sunset's rise. He was a phenomenal kind of do-everything for them guy. You've got Cole Prusha, the recent Oregon State commit at wide receiver. Andrew Simpson from Mountainside. Of the playmakers, Clay Masters, Jordan King from Central Catholic, of those playmakers, who really stood out to you as the big years, and then who are the guys that potentially were steals or great gets for colleges that got them?
So on the offensive side of the ball, you take, I usually don't start with a freshman, but Joey Olson is a freshman out of Lake Ridge. He's 6'5", 200 pounds. I think before he's done, he's going to be one of the most recruited kids ever to come out of Oregon. So I want to reference him because Coach Spencer Phillips, first year head coach at Lakers, I think did an outstanding job. And he's got a ton of kids coming back. They're really young. So Lakers is a team you're going to hear a lot about. As it relates to this first team All-State group, if you look at the line, I think you got two Oregon kids, two Oregon State kids, and a Northern Arizona commit on that line between Zach Holmes, Charlie Picard, Holden Whipple, Cannon Rossi. And actually, I forgot Liam Brown, who's committed to Montana. So you have a Division I line down there as well, which is interesting because, once again, that doesn't happen in the state of Oregon a lot. So I really like this group. Gavin Haynes, I've been a big advocate for, you know, a long time. He went for over 2,000 yards and 24 TDs last year. And in this shortened season, I think he was deserving of Player of the Year. And obviously with Cole Prussia doing what he's done, one of the best players in the state, regardless of, you know, offense or defense. So I really like this group as a whole.
Couple kids I'm surprised don't have landing spots right now. Carson Cota of South Medford. He's got opportunities. He just hasn't picked one yet because his opportunities, frankly, I don't think his opportunities yet match his film. I think he's a better player on film than his opportunities. And then Clay Masters out of West Lynn, had a chance to see him in his last game ever as a high school athlete. He had two interceptions, two touchdown catches, and was clearly both the best offensive and defensive player on the field, seemingly at all times. Against, you know, in a game of number one versus number three at the time, West Lynn Newburgh. Those two kids, what's the deal with their recruitment, and why are they not getting the recognition potentially that their statistics, that their numbers, that their achievements in high school would seem to speak to?
So Clay Masters, I mean, he just went off. I mean, he is a good call on your part. He was one of those, because you and I were talking on offense, defense, who was the overall MVP, and he's in my top three. So he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, once again, a lot of times in Oregon, you get overlooked. It's just kind of the way it is. I think wherever he lands, yeah, wherever he ends up, regardless of the level, he's going to be a contributor. You know, much like an Andrew Simpson, who was my defensive player of the year. I mean, this guy's going to go and be an All-American at Western Oregon. So once again, I think it's kind of the fit, the Jordan King. Jordan King, I consider a kid, he's going to be a double-digit D1 offer athlete. He has Central Michigan right now. That's it. So I think we're going to see a lot of kids. As of right now, Jacob Newell is the only individual on this list with D1 offers offensively with Arizona, Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV, and so on. So I think we're going to see a lot of movement and a lot of kids adding additional offers.
There's another freshman that made this list. He made the second team list. I'm already starting to hear his name quite a bit from folks out of Medford. It's North Medford's AJ Pugliano. He's gigantic for a freshman. He already made second team All-State. How good can this kid be, and what is in the water with tight ends right now in Oregon? We've got Jordan King in 2022, kind of a hybrid wide receiver tight end. You've got Riley Williams in 2023, who could be the best tight end to come out, not better than, but the best since Colt Lyerla. I mean, he could end up being an All-American. And now we've got this 2024 kid out of North Medford. It seems like the tight end position is pretty deep right now in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, second game of the year, I think he caught 7 balls for 170 yards and a touchdown, kind of his breaking, coming out party But you're right. I mean, 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", those are these freshmen. These are the kids that we get to see for what we are going to assume are full seasons, the next three seasons. So it'll be really interesting. Those will be kids that I bet after this offseason we'll have at least a couple Division I offers. We know about Riley Williams, and we're going to talk a ton about them. I don't know what's in the water, but we got dudes, and these guys are guys with size. Jacob Newell, as referenced, is got a couple mid-majors, but these are guys that are going to be, you know, four-star type kids, a lot of Pac-12 type offers, and guys we're going to hear a lot about nationally.
Cole Prusha was your co-offensive player of the year in the state of Oregon at wide receiver. Cole Prusha just this week committed to Oregon State. What are the Beavers getting from him?
I mean, Oregon State's done a really good job, especially as of late, whether it's preferred walk-ons or a kid like Cole Prusha. I mean, he didn't have an offer. Oregon State offered. He committed. And I think that was a good move on his part. In-state kid. I've been high on Cole since, you know, last year as a sophomore when you're in all conference honors as a sophomore. At 6'3", being able to play corner and being that fluid, it doesn't happen that often. I mean, a big kid that moves like that, moves his hips like that, he can play offense, defense. Every single game this season until that Lake Oswego game, the last game of the year when they got kind of smacked, he was the MVP on both sides of the football. There was no question who the best player on the field was. So I give Oregon State a lot of credit. When you referenced where they're at recruiting-wise, it's well-deserved. They've done a really good job. Jake Cookus, I think, is, you know, just killing it, and obviously the whole group. But they're doing good. Cole Press. I mean, Gavin James is a preferred walk-on, is an absolute steal. I think Gavin, I don't know exactly where, but I think he's going to start for a couple of years at Oregon State and be a guy we talk about. So a lot of credit to the Beavers.
I want to get into another program, Western Oregon, when we get back from the break, because I think if we gave an MVP for best scouts in the state of Oregon, they would get it. I would take Western Oregon's class pretty consistently over Portland State's, and they're a lower level. They just flat out out-recruit Portland State to such an extent, it's almost laughable. I want to talk about Western Oregon. I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball because there are a number of great kids. And then I want to break down who would be, I'll make a pick, you make a pick, who would be our Oregon Heisman Trophy winner? Both sides of the ball, most productive, best player in the state of Oregon. We'll do that next with Prep Red Zone's Jordan Johnson. If you missed it in the last segment, we broke down the all-state team in Oregon, the prospects, the top players, the high risers, the guys you will be hearing about at Oregon and Oregon State in the next few years, and the guys that will become household names in your local communities in the next 3 or 4 years, because some of the guys on the all-state team are freshmen. Now we got to do the defensive side of the ball. The best guy in the business for that is Prep Red Zone's Jordan Johnson. Jordan, how was your break, man? You get some water? You rehydrated, refueled, ready to go?
I'm good, buddy.
Okay. All-state team, some big names on here from a recruiting standpoint. And I want to go over the recruits kind of first. Along the defensive line, Caden Ludwig from Clackamas, he's starting to be the guy you talked about maybe a month and a half ago, being a 10 to 15 to 20 scholarship offer guy. That's starting to happen for him. Those offers are starting to roll in. The criminally underrated class of 2021 linebacker Colt Musgrave out of Bend. I know he's not a big recruit and this is supposed to be recruiting, but he should have been a bigger recruit than he was. Andrew Simpson out of Mountainside, a DB I really like. Cole Prusha, there he is, the Tualatin class of 2022 kid. First team All-State on both sides of the ball. The Oregon State commit making a splash. Trajan Williams, the Oregon commit, the All-American safety out of Jefferson, makes this list as well. Who of those names stand out to you, and who's the best of the bunch from a prospect standpoint out of that group?
So I've been a big, as you referenced, Caden Ludwig fan for a while. I think 6'5", 240, coming off the edge, as fluid as he is. I mean, we're going to hear a lot about him. Colorado and Washington State, Nevada were the first ones to offer there. I think he's going to be just a major, you know, four-star type kid. When all is said and done, definitely one of the best in the entire West Coast. criminally underrated is so well said with Colt Musgrave. Go watch his film. I mean, he's going to be the best linebacker in the Big Sky. He played quarterback his entire life and made the switch to linebacker. The last name Musgrave, most people are going to remember Bill Musgrave, one of the all-time great Ducks. But I mean, he was the state skiing champ. He is just a phenomenal overall athlete. Colt Musgrave is a dude. Like, his film, anybody can go watch it, speaks for itself. Idaho got a big time steal with Colt Musgrave. I like what you said about Carson Cota as well on the offensive side of the ball. Go watch him play D. I mean, he had some challenges, I think, academically and a few other things, but he's going to be a big-time D1 kid. I don't know where he's going to end up, obviously, but Carson Cota is a very, very talented kid. Love him coming off the edge. And then there's guys like Brian Cusperson, 150 tackles. He was my defensive player of the year last year. He got hurt the third game of the season, but Portland State, I think, was the only one to offer him. But I'm really happy you mentioned Western Oregon, because Andrew Simpson was my defensive player of the year. They got Andrew Simpson. This kid might have been the best player in the entire state of Oregon, both sides of the football. I know we'll talk about that a little later, but Andrew Simpson, remember the name, because he's going to be a D2 All-American. Western Oregon continues to kill it on the recruiting front.
Did a deep dive this year of PIL games. I covered games Saturday. Didn't have to. Told the Oregonian, hey, I'm tired of not covering high school athletes. It's been over a year since I've seen a live event. I'm going. I'll write about it for you. And I saw Tamon Davis, who's a first-team All-State defensive back committed to Western Oregon. He had three touches in the game I saw, housed all three of them. You think that's a fluke? The next week, he had three touches. He housed two of them. The other one, he was an interception that he returned to the 10-yard line. So I saw him touch the ball six times, and five of them were long touchdowns. The other one was like a 60-yard interception return he took to the 10. He's headed to Western Oregon. Special talent, has a chance to win the state title in the 100-meter. And then you've got Dante Myrick. I covered a Jefferson game, and there was a 6'6", 280-pound kid in the middle for Jefferson. I'm going, well, he must be sloppy because he's got no offers, and anytime you see 6'6", 280, and you're long, and you carry your weight pretty well, you assume they're going to be, you know, sloppy if they're not a big-time recruit. His first play, he chucks an offensive lineman, chases a running back to the sideline and tackles him. Two plays later, he almost gets a sack 10 yards in the backfield. I'm going, who is this kid? It's Dante Myrick, and he's going to Western Oregon. Western Oregon did a phenomenal job, and in the case of Myrick, I was so impressed with him, I started calling coaches and saying, like, hey, somebody pull the trigger. I know for a fact that there were a couple of Mountain West schools that almost offered him a scholarship and tried to find ways to have an available scholarship to offer that kid. He easily could have been an FBS guy. Andrew Simpson might be the state's best player. Western Oregon, again, absolutely killed it. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, I'm blown away by what Western Oregon got. They got what Portland State should have got.
Yeah, Coach Arn Ferguson, I think he's been there a couple decades now, and what he's been able to do with limited resources is just phenomenal, year in and year out. I mean, they won a conference title a couple of years ago, and I mean, you're exactly right as it relates to Dante Myrick, because I talked to the same people you're referencing, those mid-major schools, and I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's cool that this in-state school does as well as they do, grabbing some of these kids that we're talking about, because these guys have other options. I mean, they have preferred walk-on spots elsewhere at Division I universities and so on. So Tamon Davis deserves all the credit in the world. Like you said, he killed it. He was in the conversation for referencing the defensive player of the year in the state of Oregon. So these guys are going to go together. Hopefully they stick and stay. And Western is going to be one of the better teams potentially in the country among D2s in the coming seasons.
I'll give you two topics. You can talk about both, or you can talk about one. But Brian Cuthbertson, Sherwood linebacker, first team All-State. Cole Peters, one of my favorites for two or three years now out of West Lynn. A couple of those linebackers are just great, great football players. They just aren't elite athletes in air quotes, meaning 40 time shuttle, you know, vertical leap, but they're phenomenal players. And if you're picking a team to win a high school football game, you could do a lot worse than picking Brian Cuthbertson and Cole Peters as early top five picks in your draft. The other topic, and again, it's somewhat controversial, so I don't want to put you in a spot where you have to talk about it. Amarion Winston, the Oregon commit out of Central Catholic, class of 2022 kid, only made second team. And frankly, that fits what I saw. I did not see what I thought I would see watching Amarion. I know he looked explosive as a sophomore. Oregon offered him really early, and he looked fantastic. He's been a four-star prospect on 24/7 Sports. I think there's a really good chance he drops down to a three-star. his body hasn't really grown totally. I don't see him developing a lot of technique along the defensive line. He's starting to look more like he could develop into a defensive tackle, and at that point you're undersized. If you're a 4-3 defensive end, he's got to be a little quicker. I like him. He's a great kid. I'm just wondering if we're seeing kind of a similar situation that we saw with Silas Starr. Great kid, looked phenomenal as a sophomore. By the time they get to their senior year, you kind of go, still a great kid, still potential, but he didn't necessarily realize it to the fullest extent during his high school career. Again, underrated linebackers or Amarion Winston, take your pick.
So I think it's incredibly well said what you kind of just stated there. I mean, it's not to probably come off as a slight, but it's not. You take Caden Ludwig and you take Amarion, they both play technically the same position. And if we're talking what they're going to do collegiately, I foresee Caden, you watch his film, once again, speaks for itself, coming off that edge at 6'5", 240 versus, I think Amarion is going to be playing a different position. And going to Oregon, committed to Oregon, you know what type of guys they have on that roster. And it's some of the best in the nation, obviously. So, I mean, we're talking, there's a lot of question marks and obviously a very, very good football player, but you know, it's not all about, hey, I'm committed to Oregon. I'd still have him as a second team All-State kid. That's why I put in the premise, essentially, this isn't just the top recruits. This is about who had the best season and did what they did for their team. So I tried to evaluate based on that. And so I agree with you what you said as it relates to the linebackers. Cole Peters, I mean, I don't have the stat in front of me or anything, but he's got to be one of the all-time leaders in tackles in the state of Oregon for West Lynn. He's 5'9", 190, plays weak side linebacker in general. He's just a tackling machine, been all-conference kid for 3 years. And Brian Cuthbertson, just that junkyard dog mentality, the hardest hitter in the state, hands down. I mean, he was worth the price of admission on a Friday night, just himself. So I love those kids that you mentioned. And then we're going to have kids coming up, Royce Fassel and Zach Weibel, both kids I really, really like, both juniors, the heart and soul of their defense. Two kids, we're going to hear their name a ton, and that Lakeridge team, mark my words, Lakeridge, they're going to be in the mix. I mean, they're going to be a potential top five team, 6A level, in the next couple seasons. So it's a good group, and there's still question marks, but overall, talented kids.
State of Oregon always gives a 6A offensive player of the year, a 6A defensive player of the year. If I could do one thing and make one major statement, I would love to somehow put whatever influence I have, whatever limited influence I have, towards there being an overall state player of the year, because I think there are years where it's very obvious and very deserving. This year would be really, really tough, although I think four or five guys deserve it. But first, two-way lineman of the year. Who was the best offensive and defensive lineman of the year? For my money, I'll take Zach Holmes. He's a walk-on going to Oregon State, a West Lynn player. He was first team All-State on offense and defense. I believe he was the offensive player of the year in the trenches, the offensive lineman of the year in the TRL. Phenomenal player. Oregon State got a steal. I think there's an off chance. Henry Buckles was their scholarship guy. Zach Holmes was their walk-on. There's a chance that by the time it's all said and done 4 years from now, Zach Holmes is the better player. Henry Buckles is good. I'm not taking anything away from him. First team All-State kid. I'm just saying Zach Holmes is that good. A walk-on and a scholarship guy shouldn't be this close, and they are, not because Henry Buckles isn't the guy, but because Zach Holmes is that good. Who's your offensive lineman of the year? Or excuse me, your two-way lineman of the year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on Zach Holmes. I think he's got a real shot to be a guy collegiately at the highest level. I'm really happy for him. Great kid, incredibly athletic. I think he's one of those guys, as it relates to his ceiling, I think he's just going to get better and better. That being said, Holden Whipple, I think, will go down out of West Salem as one of the biggest steals for Northern Arizona ever to come out of Oregon. Remember the name. I think he'll be at least a 3-year starter at Northern Arizona. I just got to mention him because, it's a long way out, but I think he's a potential NFL guy at 6'5", 285. Watch him play basketball. Watch him shoot threes, 6'5", 285, and he's able to move his body like that. You love to see that type of athleticism on the line. When a kid can move like that, I mean, they can do, as you know, work miracles once they got you in a collegiate system and eating the right way, lifting the right way, all that. So I just want to make sure I'm referencing Holden right now because Northern Arizona got a steal as well.
Loved the season Caleb Kim had at Sunset, and shout out to Kanan Rossi, the Oregon State or the Oregon walk-on. He announced his commitment to Oregon as a walk-on today, and Liam Brown, the Montana commitment. He had a pair of really, really talented offensive linemen at Sunset to run behind. Caleb Kim deserves a shout out. Gavin Haynes was your offensive player, co-offensive player of the year. To me, if we're giving out an overall Oregon High School Heisman Trophy, it's Tualatin Skolprusha, the Oregon State commit. It's Andrew Simpson, the Mountainside player who was a first-team All-State receiver and the defensive player of the year on your list. And Clay Masters, who's uncommitted and was a first-team All-State wide receiver and defensive back. Is that list fair, or should we make it a foursome and I'm leaving somebody out off the finalist? I think those three definitely deserve to be finalists.
No, I think we're on the same page. I'll go Andrew Simpson, one, Cole Prussia, two, Clay Masters, three. I will agree with you. I mean, all year long, both of those kids, first team, both ways, no doubt. A fourth one would be Drew Bennett out of Westview. A lot of people didn't know about him. I didn't know he was going to be as good as he was, but he killed it. And he's going to be a part of that Westview team that's going to have Darius Clemens and Sam Levitt and all these kids that went and played in Utah this past year back next year. And I'm excited for this Westview group who's finally got a line. Because I think Westview could be a top 10 team as well at the 6A level. And I think they've paid their dues, and it'll be a really interesting thing to see with all this talent. Drew Bennett was one of the state leaders in every statistical category, both offensively and defensively. So he's worth a mention as well.
I'll take Clay Masters. Give me Clay Masters. That might be an upset pick. I know a lot of people thought that West Lynn was so loaded, but even on a loaded team, Clay Masters was just a dude on both sides of the ball week in, week out. Although I really don't think you could go wrong this year. I think all three of those guys, you could easily make a case for. All three of those guys, absolute studs. Jordan Johnson of Prep Red Zone, where are you on Twitter? Where can we find your work? And you have more than just all state teams. You've got rankings, top 10 lists, and more. Where can everybody find all that stuff? Because it's phenomenal.
Yeah, Prep Red Zone Oregon .com if you want to check that out. And then Jordan J _ is my Twitter. But always grateful to chop it up with you. And, you know, you do a phenomenal job. I wish we would have had this type of show back in the day, you know. So kudos to you and everybody out there. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man. Thank you.